Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Jonathan Ritter, and today is Wednesday. We're about midway through this week, and I hope whatever's going on out there that you're remaining strong and remember God's right there with you, and just be strong. And all this stuff that's going on around us, there's one fundamental truth that I cling to throughout any ordeals in my life, is that God's right there, and especially in times as it's going all around us, just cling to Him and know that He's there and just stay in His embrace. There's peace within that embrace, guys. There's love. The Holy Spirit's been laying a series sermon on my heart, and now that I'm pretty much homebound, I've been working on it and praying over it and tearing the scriptures apart and ingesting them, and this series sermon is going to be, I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is walking more in the Spirit, and the works of the flesh as walking in the flesh. I pray that whatever direction that the Lord wants us to go into, I hope it just gives whoever that may not have heard a sermon like this some insight on the scriptures that I'll be reading. And that's going to be, and it's, these scriptures are pretty much going to be the fundamental basis of this series sermon. And I encourage you guys during this study, just memorize these scriptures where you don't have to look at the Bible. And the Galatians, you know, you carry the word. I heard somebody say that you should tattoo the scriptures on your heart. And that's what we should. We should tattoo the scriptures on our heart. And even we, you know, one day the Bible may be removed and we may not have the Bible, we can always have scripture memorized, and not knowing if we'll ever get that bad, but it may in America. I know in some third world countries, they even carrying their Bibles is penalty of death or persecution, physical persecution. And the scriptures we'll be looking at today is going to be in Galatians 5, 16 through 26. In Matthew 7, 16 through 20. And we're going to start with Galatians here. That's Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Did I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they are that our Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Matthew 7, 16 through 20. This is the scripture reading that will be connected to this series sermon. That is Matthew 7, starting with verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do man gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles. Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down, that is cut and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Bow with me and we'll have prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, just thanking you for the opportunity to be able to talk about your word and to preach your word and to teach your word to whoever's out there that needs to hear this message on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray, Lord, and to lead us to walk more in the fruit of the Holy Spirit and less in the works of the flesh. Lord, I pray, Lord, that during this time we just reflect on our life before this time and realize, have we been producing that, or yielding, or bringing forth that fruit that you want us to bring among that loss? Or is it corrupt? Is it evil, Lord? Pray, Lord, is our love being shined out into the world, our long-suffering, our goodness, our gentleness, our temperance, our meekness, our faith, our joy, and our peace, Lord. I pray, Lord, as I come before you to give the words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that resides in me, that gives me the authority and the power to proclaim the gospel that you have set forth in this time and this age, Lord, that you, my words speak is your words, and my hands are your hands, and my feet are your feet, Lord. I give you everything. I surrender it all to be able to preach the gospel to whoever that will listen in this time, will hearken their ears and open their eyes to what's going on around us, the evil that has engulfed this world, that has ripped away the foundation of a Christian nation, that if everything from business to the church to the schools, Christ was the center of it. It was essential. Church is essential, Lord. It's most important than anything else out there. To get fed and get trained, to go out there and to be the church too. To reach whoever's around us, Lord. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. You know, I was looking at these two passages, and I don't know, I want to bring y'all's attention to fruit. That's singular in Galatians 5:22, and fruits in Matthew 7, particularly verse 16. I don't know if anyone's been taught the difference in fruit or fruits. That's fruit, singular, fruits, plural, in the contents of these two passages. You know, when we look at fruit versus fruits, the reality is these two words used separate in the passage. That is fruit in Galatians 5:22 or fruits in Matthew 7:16. There are several thoughts on why there's a difference between, or appears to be a difference between, these two words. You can go on, we have technology all around us. You can look at every passage that's on this. You can get, of course, you first pray and let the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you on the meaning before you do any searching on the internet. That prayer of breaking down God's word for you, and how, and using the Holy Scripture, and then, you know, I do that, and then I go and look at, you know, commentary here and there, and, you know, there's a lot of commentaries, a lot of thoughts on these, and, you know, and I narrowed it down to just one. You know, I always like to keep it simple. We can complex, make it very complicated. And the goal of this sermon, the goal, I hope and pray to get out of there, is to deeply reflect on our life and see if we are producing a good fruit. Are we bringing forth or yielding? The scriptures bring forth good fruit. I take that as yielding or producing by the Holy Spirit that's inside each and every one of of God's children. So when I look at fruit in Galatians 5, there it appears to be singular. But if we, you know, a lot of us, we've been to school and we've looked at grammar, and there's something we call a uncountable noun. And example of this is when we say the fruit of my labor, the fruit of my labor. I don't know if you're old enough, you work a job, you get a paycheck, and with this paycheck you might buy you a house, and you know, and in that house you might get furniture and, you know, appliances and dishwashers and refrigerators and freezers and decor for it. And when somebody looks at their house and all the stuff, you know, outside you may get a nice little fence built in there and flowers. You can say, here's my fruit, the fruit of my labor.
Powering off.
It is actually entailing all that stuff. So within the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you will see the fruit of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Therefore, your love, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, joy, and peace, and faith, all this combined in your life is manifest as you grow in Christ, abiding in Christ, and more you walk in the Spirit. And then you come to Matthew 7:16, and you see fruits. And I like to look at fruits. This is what we call a countable noun. You have uncountable noun, fruit, a countable noun, fruits. And that's just a easy grammar, word. And I look at fruits here as actions of the fruit of the Holy Spirit seen in your life. To give an illustration, I'm just going to pick one and give you guys an illustration to help better, hopefully, nail this point across. Let's take a fruit of the Holy Spirit like joy, and that is Jesus over you, right? And because you have this fruit of the Holy Spirit, and say a storm comes into your life and kicks you right in the face. This could be a loss of a home, loss of a child, loss of a loved one, divorce. This situation just rocks you. But you are more in the Spirit. So you allow the Holy Spirit to take that storm. You give it to Him. And you will praise Jesus within that storm. You give it to God. You place it in His hands. He said, this is yours anyway. And you praise and you worship. You see, from the joy, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you see fruits. That is the praise, and that is the worship. And this can be manifest. It can be seen. It can be seen. The joy that's inside you can be seen outward. And that's why in Matthew 7, the last part, it said, by their fruits you will know them. How a lost person responds to a storm should be different how we respond to a storm in life. So the goal of this sermon, first, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's Paul speaking about in Galatians to his audience. The goal is to say that we are different. Say that because we have a fruit of the Holy Spirit inside us, that we will produce or bring forth lots of fruits. And the purpose of this sermon is to kind of hit that. And first thing I'm going to talk about is love. That is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. But what does love really mean, guys? I know if you look at around you, you can get flooded. It hits you. When you look at the world, you look at Hollywood and the love stories that's out there. They misuse that term over and over and over. Even we can be guilty of that when we say that we love to go fishing, or we love to go hunting, or we love a vacation, or we love reading and eating, and or you may have a girlfriend, you love your boyfriend, husband, wife, children, child, children, grandchildren, grandchildren, grandchild. That's all good. But when we really look deep on what love means within the contents of our Bible, we can clearly see there's a difference between the world's love and our love that we're supposed to show forth throughout our life. And we can't do this on our own. It's only because the Holy Spirit that comes in us when we accept and receive Jesus Christ into our life, and it changes everything about us. I know I was looking at the word love throughout the scriptures from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And, you know, the New Testament, and of course you can break down love several ways, but I want to hit on what love means within these passages, and a love that we should show in our lives. And that is the Greek meaning of love within Galatians 5 and Matthew 7 is agape. I don't know if you guys ever heard of agape love. That's actually the highest form, or the highest form of love. You see, this agape, this is a biblical love. It means self-sacrificing, pure, unadulterated love. John tells us in First John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brother. John 13:35 tells us, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. One of the best example or illustrations out there is through Jesus Christ. God gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave his life for each and every one of us. Through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the resurrection and providing the Holy Spirit to each and every one of his children, that our lives should be an example of this self-sacrificing love that was seen at the cross. Jesus was guilty of nothing, but he had to pay that price. So we can, wherever we're at right now, we can speak to him. We don't need an altar that to slay a lamb for a sin offering or a burnt offering or for atonement. That perfect lamb was given at the cross that we can come right where we're at now. All that pain, all that anguish is because of his love. It was pure. It was self-sacrificing. And I came across an example. I like to share it with you guys. I don't know if you guys are very familiar with Mother Teresa, but Mother Teresa Cancada, India, was a keynote speaker at a 1994 National Prayer Breakfast. In Washington, D.C., the scene was unforgettable. On either side of the podium sat President Clinton, Vice President Gore, and the other delegates. A's rolled the frail 83-year-old Mother Teresa to the podium in a wheelchair and had to help her stand to her feet. And she stood on a special platform. Even with that 4'6" woman could hardly reach the microphone. Nevertheless, her words sent shockwaves through the auditorium. She rebuked America and its leaders for the policy of abortion. Mother Teresa said America has become a selfish nation. Writes, Yanks, in danger of losing the proper meaning of love, giving until it hurts. Mother Teresa said, if we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other peoples not to kill each other? Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what they want. Mother Teresa pleaded with pregnant women who do not want their children, please do not kill the child. I want it. I will care for it. She means that she says Mother Teresa has already placed 3,000 children and families in Calcutta. She is a model of self-sacrificing love, speaking out on behalf of the weak and giving herself to serve them. You see, this love, agape, can only be reached through the Holy Spirit. And we see that in this illustration by Mother Teresa, of course, in the sacrificing of Jesus Christ for us. And every one of His children, we are His disciples, and we should show this type of love every day we live. We should walk more in this love. This love is hard to reach in our hearts if we're walking in the flesh. We have to die daily through prayer, to devotion, giving it all and everything to God every day. It's only when we draw near to Christ, we walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh. With the Holy Spirit, that Comforter, there's an important thing that the Holy Spirit does, that He does. You see, the Holy Spirit corrects us as we walk through this life. For the cause of Christ. This is not optional. The Holy Spirit will correct us when we sin. When we are drawn more to the flesh than the Spirit. When we start manifesting more works of flesh than fruit of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 7:16-20 says this. I read it earlier, but I want to reread it here, guys. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Ye shall know them by their fruits. That's verse 16. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bring not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, and this is what Jesus is saying, by their fruits you shall know them. Jesus is telling us that we will know a person by their fruits they are bearing. In today's climate, the professing Christians, today modern Christianity, does not appear to exercise our desire to bear fruits. And they believe they can live any way they like and still be saved. That is not what Jesus is telling us here. He's telling you will know them by their fruits. He said that a evil tree will bear forth evil fruit. And He said a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. In this case, we're looking at the fruit of love, guys, right? And what it brings forth. Fruits, products, yield. Yes, some of us are more mature than others, and we walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh. But I want to give y'all guys an illustration here. For example, you're driving down the road and you're just relaxing. You know, you got your favorite worship band on the radio. It might be a little Casting Crown, Toby Max, Gaithers, Danny Gokey, whatever that may be. What kind of worship music you may have there? And you know, a car zooms by you, going fast, 90 to nothing. And then it switches lanes. And then that car that just zoomed past you, they slow down. Or he or she slows down. And you're looking now at the back glass. You can see that person closely talking on their phone. And man, you can start feeling that anger boiling up. It's like a gusher ready to blow, how upset you are with that person. And you know, because I can get this way quickly myself, not showing that love, you know that person in the car, you don't know what's going on in that car. And you got to breathe right in and out. And you got to breathe deep. And if you have to, pull over to the side and just relax. Maybe pray to God to help you in that time. You need to relax based on that situation. Maybe you carry a Bible in your car, your vehicle, and you may want to, if you're not, you may want to, and you pull over and you start looking at scriptures. You see, a biblical love, guys, it's not automatic. It's through situations that challenge us to operate less in the flesh and more in the spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit does when you... For instance, another example, you say you don't do that, and instead of pulling over and slowing down, praying, reading your Bible, you pass that car and that just went by you, then got in the other lane, slowed down, you rolled down your window, and you're angry, you start cussing on them, and you start giving them, you know, all kind of gestures. Yes, Christians, we can get in the flesh, but here's the kicker. After that's over with, maybe you pull into your driveway. That situation should grieve you because the Holy Spirit inside you. You did not walk in that spirit. You walked in the flesh. The shame and the guilt should rip your heart in two. It has a pull. You have to pull aside when you're at home. You got to get where you're at home. And you got to lay that at God's feet. And ask forgiveness and repentance of that sin. And pray that next time that you will lean more on the Holy Spirit than on yourself. More on the Spirit and less in the flesh. Make this a prayer, guys, every day to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. Memorize the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Memorize the works of the flesh. Pray that you will walk more in the love, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, and the peace and faith. And less in the works of the flesh, that is fornication, adultery, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hated, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedations, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revealing, and such as which I tell you before, I have also told you in time past, they which do such things. Listen, this was Paul saying through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, because they did not have the conviction in their hearts to pull away from it and to repent of it. I want to tell you, if you're okay doing this, walking the flesh, and you don't want to repent, and you don't want to ask forgiveness, not me, but God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, says, Paul, Jesus tells us, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. He will cut you off, and he will cast you into the fire. As we come to the ending of today's sermon, hopefully as you look over your life during this time and reflect on the first fruit that we spoke on today, on the love, agape, a self-sacrificing, pure, unadulterating love. And we can read about this in all the throughout the Gospels, through Jesus ministering up to his death. That he died on Mount Calvary, no fault of his own, because he loved us. And he loves us today. Agape love. And it's through his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ, you are given the opportunity to come right where you're at and say, here I am. And let the Holy Spirit come into your life. To walk as a disciple with love in your heart, as Jesus did for everyone in this world. Within my life, I've been hurt many times. And one thing that I had to do was come to the grip with that hurt that I experienced. All the pain and scars from the hurt. And give it to Jesus. Praying and seeking my heart to be open. That more love and less hate. A love that Jesus shone, a love that Mother Teresa shone, the power of the Holy Spirit, a love that this world cannot define. I cannot really define, because it's a love beyond human understanding. But we try to put words to God's love, but in the end, our actions speak louder than our words. Let our actions point to Jesus and the cross. But that is where true love was seen. Guys, thank you for tuning in. Hope this message reached whoever's out there that needs to hear it. Remember, this is just one message. We're going to go through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to just pray that God just guides and directs and whoever needs to hear this. Guys, you bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we come today, just thanking you for another opportunity to speak your words. To speak the gospel. To reach whoever that may hear this. Just one person. It doesn't matter. One person matters to you. If one person just gives their life to you, all heaven rejoices. Truly open their hearts to you and say, "Here I am, God, come in." Nothing fancy. You know their hearts. You see them where they're at. You know who is truly yours and who isn't, Lord. You know who is bearing good fruit and who isn't. I'm just a humble messenger before you, and praying that whoever's out there, that they may hear this message, and that it may reach their hearts, and that it may open their eyes and their ears, Lord, to see and to hear the truth, and that this truth changes them and affects their hands and their feet to go out there into the world and to proclaim the gospel, the love that this world can't define. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.